This podcast was recorded at the end of March 2016, when the government's plans to set up a new social work regulator were in the social work news.
Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so that people who need social work get the help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
Hi, and I'm Jerry. It's good to be with you today, Jo.
Very good indeed. The sun is shining and the daffodils are out and the baby lambs are springing around.
Excellent. That sounds very Cumbrian.
It does, doesn't it? Don't you have...
It's more or less the same in Devon, even though it's the other end of the country.
So. I thought that you'd probably have lambs and daffodils in Devon too.
Indeed we do. So what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about values and beliefs.
So I suppose the first thing to say about values is that it's something we hear a lot about in social work. That this is a profession based on values, and that's not uncommon for professions. It's right that it should be so in social work, since it's work with people. It's probably worth mentioning that ethics and values are one of the domains of the professional capabilities framework. So they're something that we should be thinking about through our whole career. What I'd hope to do today is have a look at what it means to be a profession that's focused on values and beliefs, and what our values and beliefs mean for our work, and how we can understand those so that we can avoid, bias, and so that we can act more ethically.
Yeah, I think that this is a really interesting and tricky area, Jerry, because I think sometimes we're not even aware of how our value base can inform our practice. And an example I have is a social worker that was on my team, and she'd come in to see me and asked if she could hire a car because she wanted to take a young girl to a meeting. And I was quite surprised, because the meeting wasn't very far away and she had her own car. So I asked her why she couldn't use that. And the answer she gave me I found really perplexing. She said, "The girl stinks really badly, and it took me a week to get rid of the smell, and I've got a brand new car and I don't want it ruined." The girl that she was talking about was 17 years old. And so I said to the social worker, "Well, how long has she been smelly?" And the girl said, "Oh, always, always." I said, "Well, what have you done about it?" And what she said back to me once again really surprised me too, because she said, "Well, I haven't said anything, because it's not respectful. It's disrespectful to say that she smells." And I kind of was sitting there listening to her, and I was thinking, well, is it respectful for us to talk about her behind her back? Is it respectful to rent a car to avoid saying anything about the fact that she smells? To my mind, no. I felt that it was disrespectful not to talk to her. And it felt to me like there was something really wrong with this social worker's values.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, as to why she would have developed that belief and that value system, that it was okay, it was better not to talk to someone about that and to work around it in what seems like quite a disrespectful way.
And also a way that didn't offer the young girl any alternatives with her life, because if the social worker was worried about her smelling, you had to assume that everyone was. And so that must have been limiting her social interactions in all sorts of ways. So it was actually something, to me, life-limiting about that response as well, that wasn't fair.
Yeah, and I think it links into one of the things we were going to look at as part of this, which is about our experiences, that we develop, kind of we're programmed to develop patterns and work on frameworks and rules of thumb so that we can make judgments quite quickly. And so that means that we will have kind of rules of thumb that we use that we don't necessarily question that much. And it would take someone else saying, "Well, why would you be doing that rather than thinking about this?" Before we actually jump to the right conclusion or get to the right conclusion.
I think that's right, Jerry. You know, humans have been evolved to spot patterns and to work on probabilities, and that allows us to make rapid intuitive judgments that save time and home in on the most likely possibility. And this saves us a lot of time unless we're wrong. But the real problem with it is using our rule of thumb and making rapid judgments can also limit the way that we think about things. You know, it saves us time unless we're wrong. And evidence suggests that social workers do not tend to come up with a range of hypotheses. Instead, they look for facts to support the initial view that they form through drawing on their experiences. And this can result in a misguided effort to solve a problem based on an incorrect assumption about what the problem is. You know, what this social worker thought was the problem was her car smelling. And for me, the problem was what was happening in this girl's life that was leading her to not care for herself. And that was the discussion we ended up having. I think it's really important to understand when the shortcuts, what shortcuts we're making and what they're doing, what frame they're putting on the problem when we're interpreting a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly if we find ourselves responding to an effect of something rather than looking at what's behind it. And what you're saying about kind of developing frameworks and evolving patterns, those are really affected by the kinds of experiences that we've had. So, you know, some situations will influence us more than others. If we've had, for example, a really bad experience, like someone's been violent towards us, then we would be more aware of that and possibly more risk averse. And we also get kind of normalized. So we get used to situations that other people might think are really extreme. And you see that in particular services where people can get used to a level of safeguarding concerns, for example, and then struggle to actually work out when they should respond. And the other thing that we do is that we overestimate how likely something is if it's a dramatic kind of situation. So if, for example, people are more scared of accidents in tunnels or more scared of accidents in planes because the consequences are more extreme. And those kind of incidents, when we hear about them, stick with us a lot more, which is why people, again, can become quite risk averse. And all of these things lead into our beliefs of and expectations of the kinds of things that are likely to happen. And they influence our behaviour and our judgments and what we expect. So we do need to understand how our personal history and our personal experiences and the things that we're aware of are influencing the kinds of things that we expect, and how we jump to conclusions.
Yeah, when you talk about that, Jerry, it actually sparks for me one of the problems that we have in working with children and their families in dealing with neglect, and how we can both become very used to and tolerant to situations, to a point that when we take someone else into the home that we've been visiting, they are shocked and we've stopped being shocked. And they talk about that idea of us becoming acclimatized to the neglect that children and families are experiencing. And that's exactly, I guess, a direct example of what you've just been saying. So we've talked a little bit about our history and experiences and thought about how they affect our judgments, the beliefs and values that we acquire from our history and experiences. And the word for value is linked to the word valor. So I do think we need to be strong and courageous in talking about our values. Values underpin both what we think is worth doing and how we do it. And I think one of the real richness in social work is that we get to use ourselves, and so therefore it's not sometimes the way what we do but the way that we do it that matters the most. One of the strengths of social work is its recognition that how we perform the role will be affected by our beliefs and values, and that therefore we need to be open about these. A good place to start is to ask, why did I become a social worker? The answer to that question will say a great deal about what matters to us. Our choice of career is influenced by what we think is important, as well as by what we like to do. Research suggests that people go into the helping professions for moral reasons, including to make a difference, and Munro talks a lot about an altruistic workforce. it's essential that we're honest with ourselves about what we want to get out of doing social work and why. This allows us to consider how our motivations are influenced by what we believe and value in life. Recognizing our own beliefs and values help us understand that other people hold different things to be important. And I think this is critical when you're working with children and families. What an older adult holds to be precious to them might not be the same thing as what we think is precious, and the same for families and children. I'm always encouraging the people I work with to see parents through the eyes of their children rather than through their own professional eyes.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, our reasons for going into social work, the kind of things that motivate us, will affect how we view people, you know, whether we maybe see them as people to be supported and empowered, or maybe people to be for us to guard society against, or to fix somehow. So there's different kinds of judgments in there as well. And more generally, beliefs and values that we develop influence our judgments, influence us through kind of shortcuts, like stereotypes, which might be conscious, or they might be unconscious. Obviously, that can be useful, to make snap judgments if we're kind of under threat or there's a particular issue. So, if we were in a situation where we felt threatened, it's good to follow that instinctive judgment and leave. But stereotypes also stand in the way of our genuine understanding of what someone is like and who they are. So we do need to kind of work hard to overcome those instinctive judgments, and recognise that the way that we have grown up to think about people, the kind of people that we trust, the kind of people that we feel comfortable with, will affect how likely we are to believe them, for example, or how likely we are to trust and accept information from them. And what you were saying about child protection, I've just been looking at some research around child protection decisions, and there were a couple of really interesting bits of research. One was from England, and it found that when social workers considered that they were more likely to be blamed, that increased their risk rating of some case examples of child maltreatment. So they were more likely to think there was higher risk. And there was another one from Israel that found that caseworkers were more likely to assess children from minority groups as being at risk than from majority groups.
Yeah, so that sort of leads me to thinking about how might we respond to situations that we work in, where we work in a profession where values are essential, but our values are not always helpful to the people we serve. Because our belief systems are by their nature unprovable and illogical. However, we can understand and explain them to a certain extent by thinking through our history and experience, what has happened to us and what have we been taught. We need to start by being honest with ourselves about where our beliefs and values come from. And we also need a place where we can be honest with others, as some of our biases and assumptions will be unconscious. And supervision and peer forums play an important part in this. Being able to have honest and authentic conversations in supervision is really important, because examining our beliefs and values can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it probably should be uncomfortable.
I think
it?
So, yeah, because you're not really aware of these things until you trip over them sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to talk a little bit in this about how you might go about talking about values and beliefs, because it's uncomfortable and can be quite difficult. And there are some steps that are quite helpful. I suppose the first thing is to be aware that when you talk about what you believe and what's important to you in life, and you're challenged on that, you can learn things about yourself that you're not aware of. And some of those things might be uncomfortable or very difficult to have out in the open. So it needs to be discussed in a really considerate manner, but without avoiding the hard questions. So I suppose the first thing is to find some trusted colleagues, people that you are able to have a discussion with, and to make sure that the discussion is constructive and supportive. So be clear about why you're talking about values and beliefs, and that should be about making sure that you can support the people you work with better, do better practice. So if there's another kind of motive, more ulterior motive, then you need to be really honest about that. In terms of who you talk with about your values and beliefs, there's going to be some power and dynamics issues. So everyone needs to be able to enter the conversation equally. And if you've got a supervisor-supervisee relationship, then you're going to need to be really clear about the power differential and the purpose of the conversation, so that people aren't concerned about how they might be judged or how opinions might be formed about them or how that might be used in other ways. You do need to have enough time and space for it, because things will come up that will need unpicking, and you also need kind of debriefing and recovery time, I guess. And it shouldn't be a surprise discussion ever. There should always be some preparation for it. Finish up by linking back what you've learned to practice and how that might support people, so that you do kind of come out of it with some constructive support.
And this sounds both really challenging and really worthwhile. The people that we serve value people with integrity, and understanding ourselves is essential to maintaining integrity. What we've done in this podcast is we've considered some of the factors that affect who we are and what we believe. And we need to make sense of these, work with them, and increase our awareness. So we're just going to end with some questions for reflection. What has happened to me in the past that has had an effect on me now? And what are my beliefs about the people I work with?